Gil, when you want to listen to the No Chill podcast, where do you go?
Himalaya app.
The Himalaya app. And when you want to get it a day early, that's where you find us. Download the Himalaya app and follow for exclusive first access. Himalaya is a brand new podcast app where you can find every single podcast you love and future favorites. If you're a podcaster or a fan, Himalaya has your back. Discover personally curated playlists and show your favorite podcasters.
Like us.
Some love. You gotta love us. Maybe not every time, but most of the time. It's free, it's the easiest to use, and we're adding cool new features every day. Go to the App Store, download Himalaya, H-I-M-A-L-A-Y-A, and don't forget, or you better be, more like you can't forget, you better be.
No. You know, some people, they refuse to follow us, but they should.
Especially
if you want real, information.
July 1st.
Oh yeah, the contest.
You subscribe, follow.
Subscribe, follow. Oh, I just put two. Oh, I'll let it. I mean, they can hear it first here. Two. So I got two 55-inch HD TVs coming too.
Yeah.
So we got some shit coming.
It could be you.
So
you'll like us even more.
It'll be 31 people. So,
no, we got more. The numbers are up.
But no, 30. We're gonna have 31 winners.
Oh right, every day, July 1.
All
right. On this episode of the No Chill Podcast, we salute the champs. Of course, Kawhi led the Raptors to their first Larry OB, but for Agent Zero, the real hero was Kyle Lowry. Gil breaks down what it was that Lowry accomplished that made the win so sweet and shares what he and Kyle talked about in a combo immediately after the finals win. Now, as well-deserved and unbelievable as the Toronto win was, losing Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson to injury was truly tragic for the Golden State Warriors. Gil also talked to KD in the wake of his torn Achilles, and as tough as it was to watch, Gil thinks this time can really benefit the star of KD's status. And before we go, we thank Drake for the show and look ahead to what's next for these two teams. It's a wrap-up of a truly eventful NBA season as we head into what will be a wild summer. We also have plenty coming up for the No Chill Podcast. As you know, we have a special giveaway for our fans, so be sure to subscribe on the Himalaya app, the No Chill YouTube channel. And of course, you can get us wherever you get your podcasts. Stay tuned. All right, Gil. The NBA season is over. Mm-hmm. It was a hell of a season. It was a hell of a finals. And you're wearing that. Before that, there's something I gotta address here on the podcast right now.
Okay.
This titty shirt you wore the other day in the gym.
My muscle shirt. What's wrong with that?
But you see both nipples.
Because I'm swole.
You're swole?
That's the Venice Beach look.
But that, like, that's back in the day, Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, that's the Venice Beach look. Let the ladies, you know, that's more for the ladies.
But you put the nipples out?
No, that's just the way the shirt was cut. It. That's the shirt. I'm just working out.
I think you cut it a little too much.
Just like Instagram, whatever pops out, pops out.
You know? I think you cut it a little too much. Okay, I understand. Cut it away.
Was I supposed to put pasties on? Okay. Supposed to put pasties?
That's what that picture caught my eye. I was like, I'd never really quite seen you in the gym like that. But if you want to be that IG thought.
Yeah. Sometimes you just got to do what you got to do.
Mm-hmm. So you have this throwback Kyle Lowry, Memphis Grizzlies jersey on.
Yes, sir. Representing my man Lowry. Mm-hmm. You know.
He's an NBA champion now.
Yeah. See, I was going to, I have a Chris Bosh, you know, Raptors jersey, mm-hmm. but he didn't win.
In Toronto.
Yeah, no, he didn't win a championship in Toronto, so there was no point of putting his jersey on, even though it says Toronto, so I'd rather just go with my man Lowry.
It's the North.
I'd rather go with my man Lowry.
Fair.
That's my guy, so I got to go with my guy. You know.
Well, and I think he got the ultimate career completion because, you know, he took some shit the past couple years in the playoffs.
Yeah, you know what's so funny?
I think you called him, do you remember what you called him?
I used to call him Wreck-It Ralph.
Yes.
Okay. But that's my guy. So, look, I had a conversation with him, and it's kind of funny.
Today?
Today. Uh-huh. Yeah. Hmm.
Is he, where was he at? Is he in Toronto?
I'm sure.
I don't know, something that Drake might have gone, they might have gone to Vegas.
No, you're going to go home and celebrate with your fans. I'm sure that's how championships work. So it started off like, I was like, crazy how life seems like it's falling apart. Less than 10 months ago, when your best friend was traded, doubt of wanting to be there was on your mind. And now you're the face of the country that beat the USA. I said, congrats. I said, game one, when you scored 0 versus Orlando. I said, that told me you was a different player this year. Because you always had that, you know, those, that struggling woo in the playoffs. You know, it basically hunted you. But when ground zero was there and you had the worst game you can possibly have as a player, it told me you can only go up from here. You know, so, you know, I wrote it and I said, you're my MVP. You're my MVP this year for the playoffs and for the finals because you overcame the worst thing that a player has to overcome, and that's self. You know, like Kawhi Leonard was supposed to do what Kawhi Leonard did. But you've been battling your mental self for, you know, the last 3-4 years of the playoffs, you know. So the fact that you beat your inner self, you beat you. You know, it wasn't Golden State. You wasn't going against Golden State. You wasn't going against Toronto. I mean, 76ers or Bucks or Orlando. You was going against yourself. You know, so to see your best friend, you know, leave, and you basically have that stuff like, what do I do next? I'm pretty sure when DeRozan got traded, he wanted out. You know, so. You know, I wrote that to him and basically said, man, congratulations. This is you. This was for you. Mm-hmm. This helped you. And the only reason you got it, you was the most important piece. And he wrote, bro, you just explained my whole playoffs better than I could. That's why I respect you besides hoop, because you always keep it 100 mm-hmm. and understand shit and could explain it and break it down. He said, thank you, man. Because, you know, it's, you know, the reason I have conversations with players like that is because sometimes, you know, people can't understand it, you know, and I understood, you know. So when he had that first game, I was like, that's it. He can't get any worse than this. And I think now it tells him, bounce back. Mm-hmm.
You hit rock bottom, only one way to go
up. Only one way to go up, and that's what turned it on. Like, if you looked at this finals, like Orlando, like his final, like the championship, he killed in the championship versus what he did round one, round mm-hmm. two. Because it was only going, you can only go up. Every game he played, it was just,
And I think that's what, from watching him, really what it was he was not comfortable. He wasn't relaxed. For him, you're like, man, you're Wreck-It Ralph, and
that's what I said.
You're just all wound up.
What ends up happening?
You're not in your rhythm.
But that's what I said. This year's playoffs, it was a win-win for him, believe it or not, because if he played well game one, there you go. He finally broke the curse. He played zero game one. It can only go up.
But I remember that at that point, it was like, oh, shit, Kyle Lowry.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Oh, shit, Kyle Lowry. Oh, shit, it's again. But it was zero. Mm-hmm. So when you didn't score, it was beyond, oh, shit. It was mm-hmm. like, I can only take off from now. So everything from now is better than what this mm-hmm. first game mm-hmm. was. And that was the awakening of what we've seen in this championship. It was just, he was just building his confidence. You know, we all expect what Kawhi did. I mean, that's what we expected, mm-hmm. but no one expected Lowry to play this way, the way he did. And that's why I'm like, you're the king.
But you also know, like you said, you get the psychology, because it's one thing to be in it, in the series, in the moment, in that space. But also your point of view is like you're 30,000 miles away, but you know what it's like to be in.
Yeah, because and that's where, you know, when you think about the Stephen A. Smiths and the Max and all these guys who analyze sports, if you've never played, if you've never been there, it's hard for you to think how the player thinks. Because only a player who's been in the situation, a player who scored zero and only, there's only one way to go. Mm-hmm. There's only one way to go. If you've never been there, it's hard to tell a player. Like, it's hard to sit there and manipulate and say what is really going on or how to dictate what's about to happen because you don't know. You're just going off of stats and, look in the last 6 years, this is what he did. Like, oh.
But that's media in general. I see this is like you be around you. You know, reporters and stuff, like, mm-hmm. those aren't the dudes that they're not in the gym. They're not going to hoop. They're watching. They're observers, right? So no shade on that. I'm just that's facts. But they're looking at it in a different way. They're looking for headlines. Like you said before, clickbait.
And that's unfair to fans because, you know, fans go there for expertise. That's what you guys are on TV getting paid millions.
Yeah, you're not
an
expert. You just have an opinion.
Yeah, that's what I said. You're getting paid millions mm-hmm. to be experts. Mm-hmm. Like, you're on TV. Like, I know you're on TV to be an expert. So I want to hear expert type shit. I don't want to hear clickbait type stuff. I don't want to hear a debate. Like, that's not, you know,
but then
why I tune in.
You know, though, they don't understand athletics, what it's like to be an athlete, mm-hmm. where, you know, what it's like to train or watch film or, you know, I think if you understand competition, I didn't play in the NBA, but I like to compete. I like to play, you know. I know I'm not in mm-hmm. the NBA, but mm-hmm. I played this morning. I felt good, you know. But I think understanding what an athlete, their psychology, you know, what they have to live through and what it's like.
Like, so
they're rounded enough to know that.
Yeah, but kinda, because kinda. You got to remember, if you're not an athlete, an athlete's not gonna let you in. He's not gonna let you in.
You know, I was thinking about this today. People have no idea what the pregame ritual is.
Mm-mm. Have you not?
Let alone a game.
No. You don't know what the pregame, you don't know what they're the night before, you don't know the ritual the night before, you don't know what they do in the summer. That's what I said. You don't know what an athlete does.
But I think it's this. I know what that is. I haven't done it, but I respect it.
So
you got to get to some point of I can acknowledge what I know and what I don't know, but respect it.
So I wrote KD also after he got hurt, right? Wrote him a whole long thing, right? And then I said, you know, this is a time for you to reflect on your career, to reflect, to celebrate what you've done. I said, as athletes, we're not here in real time. We're so busy, so focused on trying to be the best, trying to be the greatest, trying to hit the next milestone, trying to win the next championship, trying to be like, you don't really understand what you're doing in real time until it's done. I said, you have a chance right now to sit back and just enjoy what you've done. Cause I don't think you understand what you've done. I said, by 27, you was a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Right.
There's not a lot of people that's ever played this game that can say by 27 they were Hall of Fame first ballot. I said the stats you had, four-time scoring champ, MVP, two gold medals, two all-star MVPs, seven-time all-NBA, seven-time all-star, like that, those are by 27, no one has mm-hmm. those type of stats. So sit back and enjoy it. Like really, like, so while you're enjoying it, you know where to go next, what to do next, what to accomplish next. You know, because no one's going to enjoy, no one's going to give you your praise now. They're going to do it when you're done. So get it all in now, enjoy it. Once you're done enjoying it, I'll see you back on the court. Mm-hmm. And then I wrote, don't listen to the media right now, good or bad. I said, and the reason I'm saying that is because if you listen to them, the anger is going to build up of the decision that was made. And that's where it started, like the decision that was made of you returning. I said, no one was going to force you to play. You were going to do that on your own. That's who we are. Mm-hmm. You know, was it a mistake? Oh, yeah, we can say that now. If I erase your memory and gave you 100 chances to do it again, you'd do the same thing every single time.
Of course.
Because you're a hooper. That's what fucking hoopers do. Hoopers don't sit there and let the team go through. You're a hooper. If you're at 25%, like if you're at 50%, you're going to go out there and play because that's what you live for. That's what you do. So when media says, oh, shut up. You're not a hooper. You don't fucking know. Like Jordan's flu game. I'm pretty sure a doctor told him to sit his ass down. I'm pretty sure the media told him to say, no, that's what hoopers do. We go out and play.
Not to mention, it's the finals. Like, yeah, that's what every hooper wants to do.
Yeah, that's the ultimate. But that's what we live for. Mm-hmm. Kobe in his finger. Kobe in his shoulder. Kobe is like, you're going to go out there and play. Like
you saw Clay. He tore his ACL.
And came and back and shot free throws.
But even that, he runs back down the court like, I think I might be okay. Yeah. It's your torn ACL.
And the only reason he shot the free throws to, just in case he could come back and play, he wasn't giving up hope.
Yep.
That's what hoopers do. So I said, you're too good of a person to let anger build in, to let doubt build in. I said, I can tell you, and I said, you know, I keep it 100. That, I don't know if it was the owner or whoever, went on the podium and was crying.
Bob Myers, yeah.
I said, that's genuine. I said, trust me, ain't no motherfucking white man out there crying for no black athletes. I can tell you that for fucking sure. I said, but he wasn't crying like he lost a fucking piece of meat, like product. Mm-hmm. He cried because he lost a friend. Mm-hmm. And I said, that's what that was. He lost a friend. His friend got hurt. That's what I said. So when you look at situations like that man was genuinely hurt just as much as the rest of the world. You know, so I said, you know, you, if doubt or anger is looming, let it go. That's not what you're about. You've never been about it. Don't put it in now. Do not listen to the media. And I said, and this is how, you know how my mind works. And I said, this is how my mind works. I said, Toronto cheering. Toronto cheering should make you smile. I said, that should make you smile. I said, it should make you smile inside. I said, one man, KD, the kid from DC, made a whole fucking country shake. They feared you. Like, they feared you. They were afraid. Like, they're up 3-1 in the sight of KD playing on the court, feared them. That's what you should smile about.
Not to mention, he came out killing.
Like that, but that's what I'm saying. But think about it. Like, it's out of one man in the whole NBA right now that they didn't want to see, that was going to take their championship away, it was you. It was Kevin Durant. So, yeah, they were cheering because hope came back. So I said, you can look at it any way you want to. You can look at it like, oh, that was the most disrespectful shit that they can ever do. Or you're looking at it like, yeah, you feared me that motherfucking much that when I got off, you had to fucking clap because I gave you hope now. And that's how I looked at it.
Yeah, no, they
and he was like, man, bro, thank you. I appreciate it. You know, it's like, because it's like, that's how I look at it. You know, I don't look at it like, that's the most disrespect. Because the only reason they're clapping is because it's fucking KD. Yeah. If Draymond went out, they wouldn't have gave two shits. They'd have gave you the, oh, yeah, ooh, Draymond. Like, oh, no. Like, fucking Thanos went down. Yeah. Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
And I think I'm sure everybody that he heard from, I'm sure he heard from a lot of people, it was prayers for you, get well soon, that thing. But to examine that moment, you know, like, because you had all those doubts. The question of, like, should he have played or not have played, you know, the fans cheering that, all that is only going to create the emotion of anger.
Yeah, and that's what I didn't want him to be. Right. I didn't want him to be emotionally angered at the decision making of the doctors, him, upper management, Steve Kerr, you know, the medical staff, because, like, they didn't have to. Like, you, it wasn't about them. It was about you. You wanted to be out there. You wanted to show your teammates you're there for them. You're down 3-1. Let me go out there and give them a boost if I can.
Yeah, so I think this, you might know this, we might not know this, but I feel like from that injury, first of all, I don't know why they called it a calf strain if it was an Achilles partial tear or something mm-hmm. like that. That was weird. And you could even see where he had the ice was below the calf.
When, the first time? Or the...
That was, the injury was a calf strain.
Yeah, high, low calf strain, high.
But if it was an Achilles the whole time, they didn't call it an Achilles.
No.
So the question of how come he wasn't on the bench with the team? He was in the back in the locker room for those games, remember, and you would see him come out and high-five the team and all that. It's because he was getting around-the-clock treatment.
Yeah.
I think the optics of it, people are like, oh, where is this dude? You know, like, yeah, he's already gone.
He was probably getting treatment. I mean, you're getting treatment on the, you know, in the back, rehabbing, doing your exercising, because you got to remember, that is the only time that he can get focused on during the day, because you got to remember the rest of the team has to go through their treatment, has to go through their physical therapy and whatever to get ready for the game. So the only time he can get to that medical staff at the arena is when
he couldn't get treatment with somebody else,
like during the game, during that day,
during the day.
No, during that, that's what I'm saying. That's like, he probably got treatment, like, so he'll get treatment during shoot around, like while they're, mm-hmm. you know, the shoot around, and then probably before the game if someone else didn't come in. You got to remember, Clay, everyone has to get treated. There's only fucking one doctor
but I think they were accelerating his treatment to get him back soon. So if the timeline is four to six weeks.
I don't think they was accelerating it, because, you know, at that time, as long as Clay was healthy,
they were okay.
They were okay. Right.
But, so that was the other thing. So they're down 3-1. And I'm sure he said, like, let's see how you guys do. If you're up to 3-1, you're
I'm pretty sure he was playing 1-on-1. He was working out.
Right. But at 75%.
At 75%. You know, it's – did he have to go through gameplay to really realize if he's ready? No, he didn't. Because if he did it in practice, tweaked it in practice, mm-hmm. I mean, it really didn't – you know, it was just one of those things.
That's really where he tested it, to see that he could go on the court for the game competitions. Because if he went through even a shoot around,
that's what I said. You can only test it if you're in game mode. Yeah. Because your practice mode is not as hard as your game mode, your reaction time.
Like, but even just for him, his cuts, his hesitation, step back, all the footwork that he used.
He wouldn't have known until he actually played a game.
Right, right. So the other thing was him saying in this scenario, you guys go up 3-1, I'm good, you don't need me. 2-2, maybe.
Yeah.
So the timeline was like, all right, well, if it's 3-1, I could do game 5. Because that's why I think that was the other thing, was that every game it was a new update. KD's out for this game. And they just updated the next game.
You got to remember, you know, every game they lost, his anxiety was going to go up. His timetable was going to go up. Yeah, in hindsight, you probably didn't want to rush KD back. But again, if he felt 50%, he was going to tell the medical staff 75. If it was 75, he was going to say, I'm 100. That's what mm-hmm. we do. You know, we want to compete. You know, the worst place for someone who's competitive is the gym. You know, it's, you don't want him out there. You don't want him to, like, you don't want him to see it. Because right. He's going
like
to want to play
the
it.
Kid away from it. Keeping the kid away from Xbox.
Yes.
Like, of course he's going to want to go play.
And that's exactly, like, if a hooper wants to hoop, he's going to hoop.
Keep him away from basketball court.
Like, that's what I said. We've played our whole lives injured at some point. Mm-hmm. So if we can go up and down a little bit, we'll try. So, you know, the worst thing was having him at the arena. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. Having him at the arena, around it, hearing the cheers, watching it on TV. Because, you know, that blood gets to, like, oh, shit. Like, you can see when a player's injured. He'll blow in his hands like he's about to go in. Like, no, sit your ass down. You're not about to go in. Like oh, shit, he's on fire. Like, you get the vibe of that pain that you have is gone. You know, so worrying about KD's future? No, I'm not. And no one should. Because
Gil, hold that thought. We got to get to our sponsors. By now, you've probably heard us talking about Burrow and how we're a huge fan. but there are a lot of other people out there that love the comfort from Burrow, like Michael, who says Burrow has nailed it on quality, craftsmanship, and customer service, or Katie says it's incredibly easy to set up. It took only 20 minutes. We love how versatile it is. Being able to switch the shades is huge. So now we're on board with Burrow. Mm-hmm. Burrow's clever design means it's easy to set up, easy to move, and easy to add or remove seats as needed. Burrow's sofas feature naturally scratch and stain-resistant fabric, sturdy hardwood frames, and soft, non-toxic foam cushions. There's even a built-in USB charger to make life easier. So you don't have to get off that couch. Nice. Burrow is totally customizable, so you can pick one of five favorite fabric colors, three leg finishes, two armrest styles, and more. Plus, they just launched the Nomad Leather Collection. Yeah, step that up. Featuring their same convenient design, now with the option of top grain Italian leather upholstery. At Burrow, 1 week shipping is always free, and they stand by their furniture with a risk-free 30-day return period. And for fans of the No Chill podcast, we got something for you. We want to give your living room the upgrade it deserves with a Burrow sofa. Get $75 off a new sofa and free 1 week shipping by visiting burrow.com/nochill. There it is. That's burrow.com/nochill. $75 off that sofa.
And you can pay probably $10 more or ask Katie, since it only took her 20 minutes, to put yours together.
Call Katie to come over.
Katie, come over and put this together. You said 20 minutes.
All right, Gil. It's that time.
Uh-huh.
We got to talk about sex.
Ooh, baby.
We play some
jazz. Or, like, it's 2 a.m. in the morning. Yep.
But also good sex. Remember those old days when you were just always ready to go?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Listen up, because we're going to talk about BlueChew.com. That's blue, like the color blue. BlueChew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever the opportunity arrives.
You can't look at me. You can't do that.
Well, for those who didn't see that.
Yeah, okay. Yep.
But when the mood strikes, go for, I'm not going to look at you at all.
Okay, actually. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, this is getting awkward.
Uh-huh.
Now, this isn't just for guys who can't perform. It's for any guy who wants extra function to enhance their performance in the bedroom. Most guys talk a good game, but if you're a one and done, Blue Chew can even help your follow through for round two. Blue Chew is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package, so no in-person doctor visits, no waiting in the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. Like when I look at you when I'm reading this.
Yeah, got it. I got it.
They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com to get your first shipment free when you use our special promo code NOCHILL75. Just pay $5 shipping. Again, it's BlueChew.com/NOCHILL75 to try it for free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them.
Can
I look at you again?
Now you can look. Yeah. Listen, that is a fucking amazing name. Blue Chew. Like, I'm just like,
it's just cool.
I'm investing. I'm gonna invest. Mm-hmm. You know, you just gotta let me in. I'm
You're not just invest. A.
I'm not. I'm just not a. It's supposed
not,
to be.
You're not just a member. You're the player president.
That's like, is that it? Yeah. I thought it was a user.
Mm. It was something like Hair Club for Men. I think was.
Oh, okay.
That's where that came from. But then Biggie.
I like the song. You know, like, hey, you know, they said what was that line?
The one and done.
The one and done. Nah, yeah. You get to bounce back with the gooseneck.
Round two.
Round two.
Right. I guess smart. Yeah. And a good name.
Uh-huh.
Remember the name.
Remember.
Blue Chew. Whew. On that note, back to performance
mm-hmm.
on the basketball court.
Okay.
What did you want to say?
Oh.
You told me to hold that thought.
Hold that thought. Yeah. My man, KD.
Wait, what?
KD.
Yeah, your stutter, though, was...
K-K-K-K-K-D.
I got it. There we go.
Okay.
Three so, Ks is a different context.
He's a killer.
Yeah, okay.
So, like, you know, I've been listening to, you know, the sports analysts and all that, and, you know, what they're saying about KD's career. I heard, was it Max Kellerman saying, you know, he won't be the same player. And, you know, it hurts me. It hurts me because it's like you guys, you know, they do research, but not the right research. You know, I don't think they do the right research that can stamp them as someone like me. Like, if I want to be entertained, you know, I'll watch, you know, Max and Stephen A go at it, you know, because it's fun, you know, just watching them overshout each other.
It's fun.
It, to me, it is. It is. Like, who's going to have the best wrong answer?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's one of those. Like, all right, I'm, you know, okay, Max won this one. Okay, Stephen A. You know, I get the, you know, but, you know, for the most part, it's like, if you guys do your research, like, a little more in depth on the stuff you're going to talk about, you can really give insight to, like real stuff. Like, you know, when Max said, oh, KD won't be the same, why? What gives you that?
Let me stop you right there. That's not research. That's the take. We could sit here all day long.
No, they had all these players.
How it worked, they have a researcher.
Yeah.
So they could ask, you know, what's the recovery time or whatever, but they're still going to have a take.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. But if you knew reality, then your take would be a little bit different because you had a whole bunch of players. You had, you know, you had Kobe up there, Cousins. You had, there's a whole bunch of people who had Achilles and how.
Yeah, Dominique Wilkins.
Yeah, that it took away their game. Mm-hmm. And I would have said, well, all those players, it was their jumping leg, not their off leg. This is KD's off leg. It's his right leg. It's not his left. It's not like Kobe's or Cousins, and it takes away his explosion. So you're going to have the first player to have an Achilles, who has an Achilles injury, had surgery, which doesn't affect their jumping ability because he jumps off his left leg. You know, so saying KD will not be the same is incorrect, actually, because he will be the same because he has his athleticism. He has his 7 foot. He doesn't lose his stroke. He still gets moved side to side. I mean,
you just said it. He doesn't lose. He's 7 feet.
Yeah. But
it's still going to be 7 feet when he comes back.
But when he drives and goes and dunks and he doesn't lose that ability. So he doesn't lose what 99% of the athlete loses during that injury. Like when Kobe lost it, he lost his explosion. He couldn't explode up anymore. He couldn't take off on 1 foot. He couldn't do it. He had to become a 2 foot jumper. And now his whole game changes. And he's older, trying to jump off 2 feet when he was used to doing most everything off of one. So, well, that doesn't happen to KD because when he crosses over and he goes the lane, he's dunking off that. Like you can see, Cousins still struggles a little bit because he wasn't athletic. And so he was Cousins athletic. Now he's probably JJ Redick athletic. You know, so it kind of hurts DeMarcus's game and you can see him struggling. Well, it doesn't hurt KD's game. So he doesn't change. Yeah, he's just out of the game for the next year, but it doesn't change what he's going to do when he comes back because he doesn't lose anything.
Well, I think, well, first of all, J.J. Redick is unathletic.
Come on. I'm pretty sure he can't touch the backboard.
I thought you and J.J. were cool. But
why me saying he's not athletic? Like, what am I supposed to say? Oh, yeah, he has a 42-inch vertical, and they're like, oh, yeah, shut the fuck up.
I say Z-Bo at this point.
With Cousins?
Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. But it hurts. It hurts.
Cousins. His game is not predicated on that. But the thing about KD is, well, first of all, to give Max the benefit of the doubt, he is saying that it's going to take time for him to recover. So we know this, that he's out for a year.
Yeah, but out for a year. And then you're saying, oh, look at the players, what it happened to. They lost their ability to do this and do that. He's not as mobile as he used to be.
Yeah, but it takes time to get back to that just baseline. where you were, right? So it just takes him time to get, but he can do it.
But you got to, it's like
if he's going to do it.
If I'm a right-handed shooter and I break my left wrist, how does it stop my shot?
Right. No, okay. I wanted to acknowledge that it doesn't change.
It doesn't change what I'm great at.
But what's KD's greatest strength?
That he's a 7-foot point guard.
Length. Part of that is the height, right? And so that high release, he doesn't use vertical for his shot. He comes very minimum leg movement. It's his high release.
But yeah.
And
yeah,
the space he creates.
But what I'm saying is, let's say it was his left leg, right?
No, I follow what you're saying, but I'm saying his game is cool.
No, that's the problem. His game is all around.
Mm-hmm.
So just as much as he tries to dunk on you and get to the lane and, you know, he shoots jumpers and threes. Mm-hmm. So if it was his left leg, yeah, you take away his driving game because he can't explode, he can't jump, he can't launch, and then he's stuck with a mid-range game.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's half of KD.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the fact that he doesn't lose this, you still have the whole full package of KD.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I said. It's like me breaking my left wrist. It doesn't affect what I'm great at.
Right.
I can still shoot. It's not like it's my shooting hand where I got to, you know, rebuild it and try to figure out and get that stroke. No, the stroke is still there.
Mm-hmm.
This is my off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I don't jump off my right leg. So my explosion off my right leg does not affect
me.
Well,
the guy who came to mind for me was also the Achilles, John Wall. That's gonna change him. Because his game is based on explosiveness, speed, his burst, and he's 29, 30?
Uh-huh. Well, it was John Wall's left.
I don't remember which one it was, right or left. I thought it was right.
Oh, was it? Oh.
I don't remember. But the point is, like, his game is based on quickness, speed.
But that's what I'm saying. It depends
on... That's tough, but I still think he's young enough that, you know, he'll be fine. It's a whole year off for him. That's tough.
I can give you the answer right now.
About how old he is?
Nope.
Or what foot it is? But you see what I'm saying there. So John Wall and Achilles tear is going to set him back. And it's just, look.
Left Achilles. No. See?
It's right.
Huh?
Right. Right Achilles?
No, it's his left Achilles. Okay. So, again, another player who's not going to be affected by it because he's a right-footed jumper.
But for him, too, though.
He does not jump off his left leg.
But athletes like the challenge. They can work with the challenge. That's what your whole life is based around. So, for him, he has a year.
But
he might be out for the whole all of next season.
Okay, so in sports, have you noticed the Achilles doesn't affect football players like it does the basketball players?
Mm. Because I'd say a cornerback.
Because you got to remember, because we're up in the air. See, a ground runner, like a run, it doesn't affect them because they're on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
So the only time you would notice if John Wall or KD would have been slowed down is when they decide to jump and they can't. So John Wall does not jump off his actual left leg. He's right-handed, but he doesn't jump off his left. Every time you see him dunking, he's coming a lot. He's dunking with his left hand, jumping off his right leg.
Mm.
So he doesn't lose his jumping ability.
But the injury, though, like we saw, KD's was
push off his right foot.
And that's when he pushed it forward when he went to like plant it again. It was from the push off, and you saw the slow mo.
Yeah, it's from the push off.
Kobe, same thing. Remember?
Uh-huh.
So that's where you use the Achilles most.
Yeah, but we got to remember, it gets stronger and thicker. So that push-off won't explode again.
Mm.
But got to remember, that thickness hurts the up part. That's what I'm saying. Achilles injuries hurts up and down mobility.
So if Vince Carter had an Achilles, that would have... At some point in his career,
it depends what leg. It all depends on what leg.
I was gonna say he's more of a 2-footed jumper.
Now Vince can jump off a one or two.
Yeah, he can. But
so like, I'm gonna go with an older player, you know, because I don't want to jinx any younger player. Someone who's not playing anymore.
Yeah.
So like if someone like Jordan tore his right Achilles, he wouldn't have been jumping off 1 foot anymore.
Mm-hmm.
That's the, you know, like his explosion off of 1 foot would have been gone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because that's his jump. That's his one leg jumping. That's what he uses.
I don't remember Dominique's, but yeah.
Dominique is a two footer.
Right, but I'm saying he had Achilles. I don't remember his right or left. But
it'd have been his probably left, probably.
I don't know.
If it took away his explosion.
Can, yeah, go back to research arenas here. But the point was for Dominique, that I remember that changed his, you know, the player that he was.
Mm-hmm.
He was basically Vince Carter. So.
But Dominique, you know, Dominique didn't jump off.
What? Off 2 feet?
Off of one.
2 feet.
He only jumped off two.
Yeah. But that affects you because you're using, I mean, for all intents and purposes, 50-50. So you need that. One side is decreased at that point. But what I'm getting to is for these guys that have an Achilles injury, it's possible now more than ever. So to say like, oh, he's out, he'll never be the same, it's foolish because you got to give the medical staff the current state of athletics. Guys can come back from these injuries.
Yeah, but just got to remember, Achilles affects your up and down mobility, mm-hmm. jumping mm-hmm. off the ground. So if it's not your jumping leg, it does not affect you personally. Mm. Yeah, like that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah, like, ooh, it's an Achilles injury. Yeah, but it's not like if you have a right tear on your knee, but you're a left-footed jumper, it doesn't affect you the mm-hmm. same. Mm-hmm. You know, it only affects you if your dominant side gets damaged. You know, so John Wall sprinting and doing that right to left crossover and jumping off his right foot, like, what the hell does his left Achilles got to do with him fucking taking off on you?
Yeah, but it's the crossover and the push off.
You got to remember, push
first step.
Achilles hurts up and down, not side to side and going. That's why football players can bounce back so quick because they don't have to leave their feet.
But I'm saying as a sprinter. Would, right, you're in the blocks, you're pushing mm-hmm. up.
Yeah, but that's what I said. But doesn't hurt them.
I don't know any sprinters that had a Achilles injury. All right, but enough about the Warriors. Well, I guess the next thing we could get into with the Warriors is this the end of the dynasty?
I mean, am I playing GM? What's my options? What am I doing?
Well, we're saying. We look at who they have,
a
right?
A dynasty?
What version of the Warriors are we getting next? Because look at who they have on contract next year. You have Steph, Draymond, Iggy, KD has his player option,
mm-hmm.
Livingston. Also, you have Damon Jones and Fonzo McKinsey. And yeah, I mean,
you got a bunch
Evans,
of, players guys, that's right. not going to play. Got it. Mm-hmm.
So are you saying they're a top three seed?
Next year? No. You got two players that's not going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got Kevin Durant who won't be playing and Clay won't be playing. So, no, they're not
going to
be.
So, your core is Steph, Draymond, Iggy.
Yeah. Which is not going to – yeah. Come on, let's
– Right. It's the thing to watch.
Honest. Like that, those three guys – because you got to remember. They're not – it's not enough to do nothing. Mm-hmm. Like, you if they make the playoffs, I'll be surprised.
Really?
Because you got to remember, the money, they have such a big salary cap on money, it's hard to get other players there. So what ends up happening is you have to go after $1 million, $2 million, $3 million players. So if you don't have anybody who can help, like really help, it's hard because you got to remember, Draymond game is attached to Clay's.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's where, you know, he gets most of his assists because he's doing pick and roll, catching it, and passing it to someone else. And that's where Draymond gets his assists. He doesn't get his assists from Curry. So you basically got Curry and half of Draymond. You know, and that's not going to be good enough to win much of anything. That's just a fact. What you do with those players now that's, you know, KD and, you know, Clay is going to test this dynasty because Clay is up. Do you sign him to max? Because I'm sure. I don't see another team giving him the max,
With a
year out.
I don't know. I mean.
No.
Sacramento or Phoenix?
No. No one's going to tie their money up for a player who's not going to play. And, I mean, it'd be a bad business move. And just if that guy can't play for a whole year, what is the point of spending the money on him? Mm-hmm. So the only
Here's the scenario. All these guys, Jimmy Butler, Kemba Walker, Kyrie, I miss out on all these dudes. So now I can say, all right, well, I'll invest in Clay and I'll get him back next year. Starting
in 2020. What's the point? But that's what I'm saying. What is the point of?
I didn't get a big free agent. So what else do I have?
But you spent big free agent money for the same non-free agent. So you got $30 million. You missed it on Jimmy, right? Or whoever.
Good example, the Clippers. They made the playoffs with the team that they had. Uh-huh. If they can add, they have cap space, uh-huh. but they have a good team in place. Mm-hmm. We'll roll this team out because we know the Warriors.
You roll that same team out, but spend $30 million for a player who's not.
I agree. It doesn't make sense business-wise, but I'm saying if they're in the position where we didn't get these guys, we struck out. Might be Miami, and they have a competitive team already. We're 7 seed. We added Clay in 2020. It's our best bet.
But by the time Clay comes in, half of that team would be traded or this piece or that piece. And as I said, there's no point of tying the money up. So most likely Clay's only option is back to Golden State
I think there's a team out there that might
for the max money.
Right, right.
You got to remember,
it's more money.
It's ACL, so he's missing 10, 11, 12 months. So that's all of the season. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, best case, he could come back for the playoffs next year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So only Golden State is going to invest because he is up. KD, he can opt into his player option, mm-hmm. which is
$31 million,
which is pointless.
Why do you say that?
The reason it's pointless is because no matter what, this year or next year, you have not played any games going into free agency. So why wait till next year to opt out and sign a max when you can just do it this year? Who cares? It's like, I don't know who his agent is, but you know, the reality is you're a free agent this year or you're a free agent next year. Between that year, you actually haven't played. Mm-hmm. So might as well just sign your max now and get it out of the way. If I'm him, what is the point? That I rehab my whole year, I'm healthy to sign it next year? Oh, okay, everyone knows I'm going to be out 12 months. So in 12 months, I'll be ready to play. So which I have, was it 18 months before I really have to actually mm-hmm. go out? So before the next season start for him. So you might as well opt out this year and sign your max deal.
That's a crazy thing too. To get injured on the last game of the season for you, that gives you a whole nother, and it's a year-long recovery. That mm-hmm. gives you a whole nother year and change, plus, a year plus summer.
Yeah, that's what I said. So it's one of those things where, I mean, it doesn't suck, but it's, you have to, like, Golden State has to pay him, both.
Mm-hmm. Well,
you have to.
You got to pay one because you're paying for two guys that won't play for a year.
You're going to have – and that's the problem.
They don't have to pay KD.
If he opts out, you have to pay KD.
Why?
You're going to let arguably the best – one or two – Okay. You're arguing with LeBron James. You're going to let the 1A or 1B –
Yeah. No, I know how
good – best player that's in the NBA saying. Just walk?
If he didn't get hurt. And he didn't want to be in Golden State.
You lose him.
Right.
Uh-huh.
So I feel like they could live with that reality. The fact that he's hurt is an interesting wrinkle.
But I don't think it was reality. I don't think that was their reality that he was actually going to leave. Like, so I don't think that they ever thought about KD actually leaving. Like, there was no, why would he want to leave? He's winning here. What is the
point? Right.
We want him
makes
here.
Sense for
like,
him to stay.
That's what I said. When the guy Myers cried, mm-hmm. it told me mm-hmm. everything. So,
and also, I think, well,
but
I think
if you're
him
gonna,
leaving doesn't devastate like he did with Oklahoma City.
But if you're going to pay one or other, you're going to pay KD, not Klay.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah,
but,
like I
but
said.
Then Klay has the legacy franchise. Like Warriors fans love Klay. If you talk popularity, he's ahead of KD. Came up with him. Original Splash Brother.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Original mm-hmm. Splash Brother.
That's a loyal fan base. You know that. So it's Stephen
Klay. So you're going to pay this guy over this guy. That's what I'm saying. It's one of those things where, come on, it's LeBron James and KD. These are the two best. Mm-hmm. You're going to let one walk? Like, no, they're not going to let one walk. If he opts out, they're paying him. So they're just going to be one of those teams that says, fuck it. We're rich anyway. We're just going to have two guys that who's not playing this year.
Do you think KD still tests the market, though?
Is he going to opt out? Yes, he's. If I'm him, I'm not saying mm-hmm. If I'm him, mm-hmm. I'm opting out.
Mm-hmm.
Because you got to remember, it's.
Take a meeting with New York. Take a meeting with Brooklyn, Lakers, whoever.
Okay, look, if he does opt out, it's for one reason, just to sign back with. Like, there's nothing no one can offer that San Francisco mm-hmm. can't. You have all the tech money there. You have a dynasty that you've been building with. As I said, there's no rush.
If he wants to be in LA, if he wants to be in New York, playing
to
the
be
garden.
To be in New York, to what? To do what?
It's New York, man.
Huh?
Okay. It's New York.
It's cold as fuck over there.
Yeah. He's fucking from DC.
Fucking slushy ass car half the year. You're fucking.
I'm pretty sure he gets picked up. It's car service.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's sitting in traffic. Fuck that.
Nah, I think New York's a fine option for it.
Golden State's going to be down for a year.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll be rebuilding.
Okay.
I mean, not rebuilding. They'll be getting their players back. I mean, the biggest question is, that's what I said. Like, in hindsight, the only player that might not be there by 2021 will possibly be Draymond Green.
Well, or the start of 2020 season after next year, right? Start of 2020.
Yeah, start of 2020. Yeah.
So, but before that, you sign KD and Klay. Does Draymond say, oh, shit, now I'm out then?
Draymond.
You're saying that, though.
No.
We're putting our money in Steph, Klay, and KD.
Listen, they got tech money. People, stop. They're fucking billionaires. They can pay whoever the fuck they want to pay as much as they want. Okay, so let's stop that.
All right, that's right.
At the end of the day, the only position that needs to be upgraded, like that's what I said, Draymond is, he's the heart and soul. He's the glue piece that makes it all mm-hmm. fit. For his salary, can you get somebody else? Because you got to remember, triple doubles and this and this and this. It's hard to replace him. So it's one of those things that they have to be very strategic about. You can't just get any four man. If you get Jokic, okay.
Jokic.
Yeah.
I got you.
You know, a guy who can rebound, pass. Like, Jokic.
Yeah.
All right, that's it, right?
Mm, he said Jokic.
Same shit. Like, you know, you get someone like that.
You know, people say that you have a funny way of saying names.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
Oh.
Call it Kawhi Kawad. Dame Leonard. It's Lillard.
Dame Leonard.
yeah.
So, I mean, you got to replace him with the right mm-hmm. person.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just bring any four man that you think can.
Okay, it would be an upgrade.
But the upgrade has to be a smart upgrade.
He's an all-star. But also, he will be 30 next year going into 31. You know, he's older.
I'm not worrying. Yeah, I'm not worrying about that age crap. I mean, because what he does is ageless.
Yeah. He's physical, though.
But he's ageless. I'm just here to hustle, play hard, rebound, pass the ball.
How about this? You sign them and trade them. So you could sign KD. Trade him for a bunch of young pieces, young contracts. I'm just putting it out there. It could
what
happen.
Fucking sport are you? Like, listen, this is not the fucking Indiana Pacers, bro. This is not just, we're not just sitting here just taking our great pieces, selling them.
I'm talking more about the Clippers.
Selling them for magic beans. Selling them for magic beans.
What the Clippers did with Blake Griffin.
Yeah, selling them for magic beans.
We've seen it before.
Selling it for magic beans. That's what this is. That's what you do. That's what they do. We're not doing that. Golden State doesn't do that. We're not gonna sit here.
They have billionaire money.
Selling our team, getting magic beans, telling them like, oh yeah, we got this young nucleus, and we're gonna build it up. And the fans like, oh yeah, we're woo. And then that young nucleus becomes middle age, and then they trade him for more young nucleus. Like it's a rat race. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's called investment. That's what the older owners used to do. See, these new owners is coming in saying, fuck that, this is monopoly. I'm trying to buy up all the real estate. I want all the players here. Mm-hmm. That's what that do. That trade my valuable player for young pieces is, no. What the fuck does young pieces do? Besides be young, make young mistakes.
Hopefully they do young great things. Basketball players.
Like they do young things. Mm-hmm. Like what, like I gotta wait 6-7 years before this nucleus becomes what I thought it was going to be.
You don't have KD for a year.
And I don't have these young players for 5 to 6 years. Yeah. I mean, let's go back to Kyle Lowry.
So you're saying if they're
let's think about Kawhi.
Deal. Okay, what were you going
to
say?
Like, it takes time to build.
Well.
Something that's great.
Wait, what do you mean about Kawhi?
Look at Embiid. Look how great Embiid is. Yeah. Look how great Ben Simmons is. And what happens in the playoffs? What happens when you need them? They're too inexperienced. It takes years and years with veterans. Like Kawhi, it was easy for Kawhi because he had veterans. All he had to do was just be in the mix.
Yeah, they had a shorter rotation. They used him.
But he got to be in the mix. He didn't have to be the leading scorer. He just be in the mix and do your play defense against him. So his mistakes wasn't really exposed because he has 3-4 veterans. Mm-hmm. That the ball went through. Mm-hmm. When your whole nucleus is young, every mistake is important. Every mistake is out there because they're all making them. You know, they're all doing the same dumb shit. You don't have time for it. You know, so am I going to trade Kevin Durant or this for a bunch of, like, fake gold pieces? No, thank you.
No, say fake gold.
No, thank you.
Young gold pieces.
No, thank you. It's not gold yet. It's in the hopes of gold, but no thank you. I'm going to trade a superstar for a superstar, okay?
Like what?
You got to remember, I'm a real basketball person.
Who did the superstar?
I am not a businessman that's sitting there trying to fool the fan base of like, yeah, I got rid of KD, and I guess what I got? I got a bunch of young pieces. Woohoo! Yeah, obviously, if those young pieces were that fucking good, the Lakers wouldn't have got rid of them. They just had those same young pieces, and they got rid of them. So I don't know how you tricked this fan base if the fucking last fan base wasn't tricked. But obviously, it happens. Like, one fan base is like, okay, yeah, we're getting Anthony Davis. And we gave away this young pieces, and the people who gave away Anthony Davis like, woohoo! We got a whole team to build. How does that even happen?
In his case, he wanted to be out.
But I'm saying is how does the fans even fall for that fucking trickery there?
Because if a player says I want to be out of here,
like the player leaves,
they're happy with whatever they get,
and that team is happy that they got rid of these players, and other team like the whole thing like, yeah, fans, woo! We got a whole bunch of hot people here. We got a whole bunch of hot young talent that's going to grow into, like, what? Like, what? They just got rid of that. They just got rid of
player.
Like, they just got rid of them. We got rid of real gold. This was a real golden piece. This was a USA player. Mm-hmm. This is an all-star, a perennial player. We got rid of him for all rookie selections, and some of them shouldn't even be
for upside. But as far as trades go, all right, the Kawhi for DeMar DeRozan trade. That was cool. DeMar, you know, obviously like one of the greatest Raptors of all time. They make this move. Could be just a one and done. Speaking of Blue Chew, one and done trade. One and done trade.
Uh-huh.
But he wins him a championship.
You know, and you know me, I wasn't a Kawhi fan. Mm-hmm. You know, I wasn't.
But
you know, I've jumped on a bandwagon.
Yeah.
You know, I've been jumped on it.
Yeah.
But I seen something posted. I guess he said in the interview that, you know, when he got traded, he hit Larry up and said, you know, let's, you know, whatever we got to do, let's make this work and do something special. And around the same time I was talking to him, same thing. Yo, hey, you know, you got Kawhi, you know, hey, y'all try to do something and, you know, make people not think about what just happened. You know, so it was the same time. But his thought process of, you know, how great, because, you know, the narrative, how they, you know, they do us, those athletes, you know, it's, you know, so to see that, you know, when he got traded, he made the call to Larry to basically say, yo, let's do something special.
That's the rate, that's what he
you know, is, I'm not just going to come here and just, you know, try to play for a year and get the hell out of here. And the story of how this guy, like how he was treated at the end of his San Antonio career, I mean, says a lot too. But, you know, you can look at both organizations and say, oh, you guys are both shit.
You know, the organizations or the player in the organization?
No. The organizations themselves. You can say, all right.
You're saying Toronto versus San
Antonio. Toronto, you can say. But, I mean, at this point, both Toronto and Raptors look like dickheads. And, to be honest.
What do you mean for Toronto? They won a championship.
But you got rid of a loyal guy. What I'm saying is fuck the championship. When last summer, both looked like dickheads as
at
organizations.
The time, yeah.
You know, you got one who's trading their player who wants to be in mm-hmm. Canada, mm-hmm. who's embraced this city. Mm-hmm. This is his home. Mm-hmm. Nothing's wrong with him. You trade him. Then Spurs, your most loyal player when it comes to fighting out every. You guys decide to laugh at him. Good luck in Canada, bro. It's cold. Mm-hmm. And, like, why would you do – like, this man ain't say nothing bad about you guys. And you got the great San Antonio, the gold standard. Yeah, the gold standard for treating players the white right way and, like, stand-up type of organization when it came to the players you guys pick. And you guys were laughing and, oh, tell him he's gone. Get him out of here. You're in Canada now. So both – we're looking like I was running the organization. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, to see, you know, Kawhi take it like a champ. Go out there, do his business. I don't think he's ever said anything bad about San Antonio.
Yeah, it was all the kind of the misdirection of with his injury and all that.
Yeah, that's what I said. He's never said anything.
Yeah, he never roasted them.
That's what I said. You guys laughed at him, roasted him for what he did and to win a championship. Is beyond what, like, if I said, man, I hope Kawhi Leonard, I hope he fucking, like, wins the MVP or the championship after what they were doing. That was, like, please do it. So to see him win is like.
But wouldn't you, actually, you would rather see DeMar win because this is the team, like, no, you'd rather see DeMar beat Toronto.
No. It was that, but as I said, you got two teams that's looking like shitheads.
Right.
DeMar, we're trading you for Kawhi. San Antonio is like, ha ha, good luck with her. Woohoo! Like, you know, Toronto was still saddened. Like, but you know, it was a business decision they had to make. They were saddened. Spurs was laughing, like they got rid of, like, they got rid of something. Like, oh, take them. Woo, we don't want that shit anymore. Right. And that's how they were, yeah, they were treating them like that. And mm-hmm. that's why it was like, this championship is like, ha. Oh, that feels so fucking good. Yeah. Oh, that's like being fucking a broke man and your girl fucking leaves you and she just dumped your ass and she's saying, get the fuck on, you fucking loser, kicks you out, and then you hit the lotto. You hit the lotto. Hey, 550 million. Like, oh, yeah, that feeling.
He's laughing now.
Yeah, that feeling is like, you can see it like, Kawhi smiling. He smiled more in this championship than he did in the San Antonio one. Because it means
more. I
don't think
he ever smiled before.
That doesn't mean more.
Yeah.
It means more.
But, you know, the other thing for that trade, DeMar is a hell of a player. All-star, Team USA player. It was an upgrade. Reality is an upgrade.
That's what I said. It was an upgrade, but, you know, that's what I said. Toronto did it. It was business for them. Spurs, it was personal.
Yeah, because I think for Toronto, they won, so it was focused on them. Spurs, whatever.
Yeah, I'm just saying it was personal. Yeah, so yeah, when you...
So it fueled that. But with that trade, they made an upgrade, right? So they said, what we have with DeMar, we kind of got to the end of the road on this. DeMar and Kyle, we got to break this up. And I think DeMar was more of an attractive trade piece for Kawhi, obviously. Mm-hmm. So they had their opportunity and they took it.
But that's what I'm saying. Let's just keep it real.
Always.
Toronto. Who's the guy who made the trade?
Masai Ujiri.
He's not a fucking genius. Let's stop. I like nothing personal against him, but he did not seek this trade. San Antonio was trading their player. They were trading their player.
He had a great opportunity.
Yeah, he was a guy.
Danny Ainge with Kyrie.
Yeah, that's what I said. He was a guy who decided, who just got lucky. Like, hey, I got DeMar DeRozan if you want to make this trade. It wasn't, you didn't sit here and specially carve out some amazing trade.
It's like a knock at the door. You open up his
body. Yeah, that's all.
It's
yeah.
A bikini model.
That's what I said. Yeah, you just opened, you fucking opened the door to a knock. That's all it was. It wasn't like you, like, it's like to be praised for saying, okay.
Well,
yes,
it does take balls, though, because it's 1 year and he's coming off that injury. And he probably doesn't want to play.
Okay, if they don't win a championship, does he get fired?
No, because I think you would have had DeMar's salary off the books.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. So
it was a win-win.
It wasn't some special, like he didn't carve out and mastermind some brilliant plan.
But actually, like I said, it takes balls. If you move your franchise player that the whole country, remember,
it wasn't him. That's what I'm saying.
It was his move.
One person being a genius. It was one group being stupid.
Right. But
for it was him, stupidity, Spurs, personal. You set out last year. Fuck that. We're rebuilding. I don't want you anymore. I'm going to give you to anyone who gives us anything back nice or decent at this point. And that's what it was. Someone not value. They didn't value something. So it wasn't that, okay, this guy is smarter than this. No, no. It was these guys saying, fuck that. You can have this girl with this hair and all this ugly shit going on. And then boom. And they're like, all right, we'll take her. Woo. Okay. She takes a shower. She cleans up. Oh, she's a fucking supermodel. she's a fucking supermodel. This is a Victoria's Secret model here. It's not like, ooh, he found this gym. No. He just fucking groomed her up. That gym was already there. So it's not like, that's what I'm saying. It's like, let's just really put it in perspective. It was Spurs was being idiotic because they got mad. You know, they wanted to give something up because they didn't think he was going to sign back. And Toronto's like, all right, listen, we're trying to come off cap space. You know, we just signed this guy. We'll come off. We'll take Kawhi. If he leaves in a year, he leaves in a year. Fuck it. And they win a championship. Now they're looking at this. Oh, my God, this is the best. Oh, he's a mastermind genius. Get the f- Oh, okay. Like, I mean, it was just one of those guys in one of those places at the right time. Mm-hmm. He made the right move at the right time. Like, even the coach. Like, come on. Like, don't do a Tyronn Lue. Don't do a Tyronn Lue. Do not do a Tyronn Lue. Don't jump out the bag like you did something special. The team was number one. You got an upgraded piece. You got Marc Gasol, who's an all-star, who's a fucking solid. You had a little dynasty coming, but don't say you did this. Like the coach before you, they were number one last year.
Dwayne Casey, shout out. But I also don't think anybody's saying that Nick Nurse is Pat Riley.
But I'm just saying, but you guys, you two guys, don't get ahead of yourselves because you both walked into something.
Yeah. And like, you did your job.
Yeah. And just like Tyronn Lue, hey, I know you won a championship, but hey, the guy before you went to the championship. He started off the next season balling. They fired him. Your record was worse and you won a championship on his behalf. So don't go and walking into meetings turning down millions because you got a championship. Yeah, you did, but yeah, didn't do nothing for it, really. You know, you really didn't do it. You just happened to be the right man, and you sat down in the seat. That's all. That's all I'm saying. Like, that's all I'm saying.
But also, don't forget Danny Green.
Oh, did it? Yeah, Danny Green too. Yeah, that's what I said.
Part of that, like, what the hell, man? No. People forget about me. I mean, he came from San Antonio, part of the pop system.
It was the smart part where I say he was, you know, general manager. He's the general manager, right? Is that the general manager? Who made that?
He's team president.
Team president. The smart decision was Gasol. Mm-hmm. You know, grabbing Gasol was the smart. That was his smart decision.
But those are trades mid-season. Sometimes you can't plan. Didn't want to trade Gasol?
You got to remember. But like I said, a mid-season trade. Is your IQ level. You know, because at that point, you know what you need. Something's missing, and you're willing to dib and dab. Mm-hmm. A summer trade on someone who's trying to get rid of something. You know, that doesn't really show how brilliant you really are because they're getting rid of it. They don't want it, and they're just looking to package it. And if you can give them something, and you're technically, in the summer, They were thinking about tanking. Mm-hmm. They were thinking about rebuilding. So in hindsight, they trade. Kawhi Leonard leaves. They move Kyle Lowry too. That's in hindsight. Mm-hmm. You get rid of all the money and then rebuild from there. Kawhi had other expectations by winning this championship. And I think they realized that midseason, like, wait, you know what? We got something here. You know, we got something. We're missing a glue guy. Mm-hmm. And then he makes the trade. That was his brilliant move when he made the trade for Gasol. Because you have a post-up player. You have a guy who can stretch the floor. You have a go-to guy who's been there before. You have an all-star. Add that with him, your other bigs, you have something special, which nobody really paid attention to. Mm-hmm. You know, so that was his brilliant move.
Right, and they had Valanciunas. Like, they could have said we're cool with him, but he recognized Marc Gasol as an upgrade.
Yeah.
How old is Marc? Like 34?
Yeah, but you didn't so need – but
he's
you
not,
didn't,
yeah, he's not what he was.
Because you got to remember, if you just think about the team last year, right? Think about the team last year. They're number one with that nucleus.
Yeah.
You trade DeMar and Kawhi for each other. You can assume that they're going to be number one or two, period, just with that trade. You add Danny Green, gives you a little edge. You got another dead shooter and a defensive guy. And then you grab Marc Gasol. So you have a number one team in Ace. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Then you added Danny Green and Marc Gasol. They were better than their
record. You know what helps, too, is when you know you have a guy like Pascal Siak, Spicy P.
Yeah.
When you know you have a guy like that, that is emerging.
Yeah,
like
you know.
You can actually get his productions.
See, but that's where Gasol comes in at. See, that's why Gasol was important because he helps a guy like that. Mm-hmm. Because you got to remember, you got to remember, bigs play together.
Yeah.
You know, so the bigs really feed off of each other. So Gasol, Mbaka, they all feed off each other. So that's why I said.
Yeah, I think those two together, Mbaka.
Yeah, but that's what I said. You know, smart bigs, that's what I said. They needed one piece. That smart big was the piece they needed, and they got it. It was like the year Detroit when they went after Wallace, Rasheed.
Rasheed, yeah.
That was the piece. That was the piece that said, okay, this centers everything. Mm-hmm. For some reason, we were off. 13-13. Something's wrong here. Mm-hmm. And then you, boom, that piece, bop. Cleaned up the offense, cleaned up the defense.
But I think he understands chemistry and fit. Yeah, and I would say this Toronto team, they went, what, 7-8 deep?
But that's coaching.
Okay.
That's coaching.
Nick Nurse?
Yeah. Somebody's
got to get credit here. But, okay.
But what I'm saying is, for his midseason trade on a team that was playing well anyway, was
a good move.
Was a good move.
Mm-hmm. The right move.
Was the right move. Mm-hmm. So Washington offering him stake in the company. I mean, it's a, I'll say that's the best move Washington can possibly do.
You know, yeah, because they need that.
When I think about
it, they need to build basically from the top down.
Yes. They need someone who can see something that no one else can see.
Mm-hmm. A chess player.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, I think if you want him out of Toronto, because at this point, there's nothing he's going to do in Toronto that boosts him up anymore. He's done it. He hit a hole in one. Anything after this goes backwards.
But this team, all right, so we get out on this because this team. The Raptors are the most blank champion ever. Fill in that sentence.
So, come again?
The Raptors are the most champion ever. What's your word?
I was never good at shit like this. Like in school, you're supposed to give me fucking words down here.
Okay, I'll give you some options.
Okay.
Surprising, unlikely.
Oh, the Raptors are the most.
It's a pin. There's no wrong answer.
I know. Hold on. Let me think. Toronto is the most deserving champion ever.
Deserving?
Yeah.
What do you mean by that?
Because, and the reason I say this is, you got to remember, it's a whole nother country. And if most of your NBA talent is homegrown, it is hard to get players to commit to play in Canada. I mean, you remember from when Steve France is like, ah, don't pick me, mm-hmm. you know. So to get players to actually go to Canada and actually set up shop there, embrace it, sign extensions there, is they're on a back burner. I mean, most players will want to play in Minnesota.
I was going to say, well, I would rather play in Canada over...
Not a guy in the States. Not a States guy.
Milwaukee. It's basically the same shit.
Yeah, but you're close to Chicago. I mean, you're close to.
But you're up close north, to Earth. It's cold as hell.
But you're close to Earth in our sense. Like Canada, like ooh shit, that's far. Like,
but Toronto is a popping city. Like it's cool.
It's cool.
Of all places to go, compare Toronto to Milwaukee.
If you're white. Okay, so I don't want to use the race card. If you're white, Toronto's a great city.
It's a cultural
for Black America. When it comes to black athletes, you're talking about most athletes who never leave home.
Yeah, but I'm gonna speak from the point of view of whiteness. There's a shitload of white people in Milwaukee.
Yeah, but what I gotta remember?
All white people.
I'm home.
Indiana.
I'm home. I'm home. This is home ground. My feet are here.
Yeah, but, like, you know what you said it's about China. You're the only black guy in China.
Toronto to athletes, like basketball players growing up, Toronto and China are probably the same distance, you know, in our minds.
Culture, yeah. But at least Toronto culture, I think you told me in China, like they touch you like because you're black.
Yeah,
like,
I've never seen them. No, but that's what I'm saying. But, you know.
But Toronto, at least they have culture.
Yes, but you don't. But as an relatable. We don't know that. We don't know. Like when we do visit there, like oh shit, Toronto's the shit. Mm. You know, ooh, they got some nice girls. Like you realize how diverse it is, but you're still like, ooh, that's Canada. So they're on the back burner of talent. Majority of the talent they get, they have to draft. So the fact that they got a team good enough to win a championship, they deserve that shit. You know, because they're fighting against all odds of everything. No one wanting to be there. No one, like you're fighting against all odds. So to get a team good enough to win a championship, you're like, you know what? Yes. Okay. You like, cause now it makes other players want to go. They should probably open up another team, get another team out there, and capitalize on this. Because you got to remember the narrative. When Vince went, we don't want to go there. No way. No thank you.
Vince was drafted.
But that's what I'm saying. But
he didn't stay.
But I got to remember, in the draft, nobody wanted to go there. You know, remember, they had to pull one team out in Vancouver. They had to pull.
In Vancouver, because cool city, too.
Then nobody wanted to be there because it seemed too far. It seemed because all my family's in the States.
Yeah, no, I understand. I think, you know.
Like, you got to remember, you got to think. Canada passports.
Right.
Most athletes, which in basketball is majority black folks, friends and families, if you're coming up in poverty, won't have passports. So your family,
you can get them passports.
Most of your families don't come to games. Well, so that's what I'm saying. So it's more deep issued stuff.
Okay, so what I was thinking of, though, pretty sure it's DeMar, but who is the guy that actually broke that and wanted to be there? Pretty sure, right?
DeMar,
I don't know about before.
But that,
I'm
DeMar,
trying to think if there's anybody like.
But that's what I'm saying, DeMar.
Chris Bosh, yeah.
But as I said, you know, he just left for a championship. But DeMar Johnson was, you know, DeMar Kyle Lowry. You know, he's.
Well, I mean, Kyle's in there now. But the guy that did that first.
But that's what
I think
I'm saying. Is that's like
they deserve. But it's just if you're willing to accept it.
But nobody was willing.
Right.
So that's why I said this championship was. This was like, and you got to remember.
Well, you just said the franchise, they were dickheads too, but.
If you take the championship away and stop from last summer, you're a dickhead. Mm-hmm. Because you got to remember, no one wants to be there anyway. Mm-hmm. And the fact that one guy says, this is my home, embrace the city. And you're like, get the fuck out of here. You know, you're like, oh, fuck them. You know, it was one of those. But, you know, now it's like smart business move. Loyal fans, adding, you know, willing to let Drake do what he does and not be,
we didn't even talk about Drake,
and not be politically correct about it says a lot too. You know,
and I think maybe that was the turning point when they said, you know what, we're going to forget our Raptor mascot or whatever, that corny stuff they did is we accept it. We got OVO in our house.
Yeah, you know, letting Drake just do what Drake, this, you know, it's one thing to say I'm above you as an organization, but to say, all right, Drake, you know what, do you. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do what makes you feel better. Put some spotlight on us. Help us. And the fact that it said, all right, and still double down when the whole world is like, you can't let Drake do that. And they're like, yeah, fuck you. we're going to let Drake do whatever he wants to do. You're not going to tell us otherwise. Says a lot. You know, so it's like, that's why I said they deserved it. They deserve that's something they deserved and earned from top to bottom. I mean, when they... Didn't they give the man a jacket of 1 point something million, 700? Like, what was that? They gave him a Raptors jacket?
Who?
Drake.
Oh, yeah.
It was like worth $1 million, right? Like, had diamonds and shit all on it. Yeah, like, fuck.
I was going to say, with Drake, you accept that he is his own brand and has his own way of doing it. I think, to some degree, that the blueprint is Spike Lee. He took a lot of shit back in the day, and remember the thing with Reggie Miller or even Jordan, you know. But it was like, actually, yeah, Spike helped our team. It was part of our. He was part.
Yeah,
of our team.
It's kind of weird to judge Toronto to be think about it, because it's like, yeah, you make a business decision, but then you embrace. It's like it's. I guess you know. At the end of the day, they could just say go get a suite. Yeah, I guess at the end of the day, you know, organizations got to do what organizations do. You can't sit there and nitpick at everything they do, because there's always something to the madness. You know, getting rid of DeMar, you know, I say, oh, you're a dickhead for that. And it's like letting Drake do anything he wants. And, okay, you're great for that. Well, you know, okay, you're great for that.
Sometimes you see teams, they make mistakes.
And that's what it is. We all make mistakes. It just at some point, I think it made sense to someone, and it happened.
Classic example, the James Harden trade in Oklahoma City. Pretty sure they give them
regret that.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah,
pretty sure.
And Drake gets the. I just want to see this championship ring because I know that's just gonna be fire.
Huh? He's designing it.
Yeah, of course.
I didn't know. That. Yeah,
Drake, cool. Come on, fucking Drake does whatever he wants.
No, I didn't know. That's pretty cool. Yeah. Big six.
Yeah, that's.
Or just the can.
I mean, you know, it's amazing.
And he had two tracks or one track? He had a track.
He got two tracks that's supposed to be dropping. I mean, that's what I said. All in all, it was.
It's actually crazy that he's that invested.
It's perfect. Mm-hmm. It's perfect because you have a personality. You have a icon who's young enough to relate and still be personable. Like that is like Spike Lee is old. You know, Jack Nicholson old. Like these guys, so they're not gonna do what Drake does. Mm-hmm. They're not gonna move the needle how Drake. Like if Spike had Instagram back then and he still wouldn't be what Drake is.
No,
to
but
the
he
Raptors.
Was the first really to do that. Jack was his own.
Yeah,
way,
you know, but that's what
he was the first to do that, and he was young at that time. But imagine, I mean, like he did the Jordan commercials. So
yeah, but that's what I said. It was more. Yeah. It wasn't like Drake is funny because he is going to talk shit and say the worst to that player, and he's friends with that player.
has a tattoo.
He's gonna offer up fights with players, and he's friends with those players. Mm. And that's the funniest part about Drake as a fan.
Yeah, I think because it's how you're used to beefs, right? You're used to like if you're in the cipher, like I'm gonna go at you. It's a rap battle.
Yeah, but you know, rap battle. He don't like those guys.
Yeah, and I think, you know, like with Meek, I think this.
Yeah, but that's Drake's personality. It's like he knows how to cut it on and off.
Yeah.
So off the court, we're besties. We're fucking fun. We're hanging. On the court, I'm a Toronto fan. It's not personal, okay? Mm-hmm. I'm going to say whatever I got to say. If you want to fight me, let's fight. Off the court, we're fine. Let's have dinner. Some wine.
This is the camera.
Take the jet. Right now, yeah. You know, and that's literally how he is. On the court, he is Aubrey, the fan. Mm-hmm. And he's going to do whatever he's going to do. Mm-hmm. He's off the court. He's drunk. And that's, or he's Champagne Poppy on the court. Whatever name he is on the court, he's off the court. And that's why it's funny. Like, you know, and he's great. I think he's great. I think it's great. It all panned out. It all worked for everyone. You know, it all worked. And it's now, you can't tell Drake, Toronto, none of it, nothing.
Nope.
If Drake wants to do a concert at the second quarter, God damn it, he's going to do it. He's going to fucking do it. Mm-hmm. He's going to do it. Hey, I wouldn't be surprised if they say, all right, he's an honorable coach. He can call timeouts when he wants.
Or the coach has to look over and get
it. Yeah, hey, Drake, you need timeout? Yeah, timeout. I got timeout. Yeah. Timeout. Woo, timeout. Like that's how much power
he redid the whole court. They did OVO night.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's
can't think of anybody else who has that. Even Jay-Z, he had the ownership thing.
He's too young. That's what I'm saying. He's young enough to push that.
But Jay-Z, he was probably around the same age as Drake is now when he got invested with the Nets. That was a while ago.
What?
When Jay-Z got involved with the Nets, Drake, how was Drake, 33?
Drake is 33.
Yeah. Jay-Z, 10 years ago.
That was 10 years ago?
Yeah.
He was 40.
No. Jay-Z's 44 right now. 45? Doesn't matter. But his way of doing it was like he just kind of sat there and chilled. And
yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like, that's what I said.
So, but Drake is extra. He's a fan. Court.
That's
yeah,
what
I'm
yeah. saying. He's a.
But it just, that to me is the crazy thing. Like, you're Drake. But now you're like fan,
because we're
number one fan.
Because
boy.
We're used to the celebrities being celebrity.
Mm-hmm.
He's willing to sweat and get dirty. You know, and I think that's what ignites
that's what
the
surprises
crowd.
People, too.
And it ignites the crowd, mm-hmm. too, because if he's jumping up and down, we should,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
You know, we don't need the players to say get in it because we see the superstar who's worth damn near almost $1 billion sweating. Mm-hmm. He had to take his shirt off. Mm-hmm. he got towels over there. So we need to get into this game. Mm-hmm. And that's what you never seen from the celebrity.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, I thought the best thing was he wore the sweatshirt Tupac hat on and above the rim. When he was the coach, remember after that? People didn't notice that.
But that's what I said. He's young enough to move the needle because he does things that you have to be really in tune to understand.
He's just extra enough.
Yeah, just extra enough. Close enough to irritate.
Yeah.
He's close enough to irritate the uppities. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what he's. It's the uppities that really don't like what Drake's doing. It's the guy, it's the people who's like, this is not the way it's supposed to happen. He's supposed to sit there and be a celebrity. We put you on the fucking cam, you wave, everyone cheers, you probably has a girl or two, you guys probably put you on the kiss cam and you probably kiss, you're like, oh, not right now. You do all the celebrity shit you're supposed to do. But you're doing some shit. You're doing some shit that we've never seen before. Massaging the coach, irritating the players. Players want to fight you. You're in there celebrating, dancing, and got the whole fucking crowd cheering. Like, what are you doing? You're messing up the order. Like, and he's like,
and guess what? I'm just gonna push him more.
And I'm gonna keep pushing it.
Yep.
I'm gonna have over your night. I'm gonna have over your jerseys. I'm gonna do everything that irritated. And it was amazing. Mm-hmm. Like it made me watch Toronto when I didn't even know who they were.
And that's the real MVP.
No, Carlisle's my MVP.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
Got the jersey.
He's the king of the North.
Well, Game of Thrones.
Yeah, he's the king of the North. Larry's your king.
Yeah, what's that?
He allowed everyone to do what everyone was doing.
That was a better ending than the Game of Thrones ending, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
Oh, it's all right. Man. So
now I might want to come to Toronto. I was just playing.
Summertime.
Yeah, that was just bullshit.
Most deserving champion ever.
Most deserving.
Mm-hmm. Put that on a t-shirt.
Nice
ring to it.
I mean, just think about it. They went through all a lot. I mean, they were the most talked about it and hated team because of what Drake was doing. Mm-hmm. I mean, all through the playoffs, everyone was crying and complaining. And they did it. They shut the world up.
Congratulations, Toronto.
Yes.
All right. It's going to be a good summer.
Yeah. You know, at the end of the day, it doesn't even matter what happens. Kawhi can leave.
Yeah.
City can buy. I don't think it's all good. You know, when someone asked me about Kawhi, I was like, if Kawhi leaves, if they win, should he leave? He was already a champion.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know what he's seeking. You know, we don't know what his journey is. We don't know if he wants to come to LA and just be home. You don't know what the guy's journey is. But, you know, I don't think a championship is going to deter him or make him stay because at this point, he's a two-time champ. You know, so he doesn't – what he decides to do is what he decides to do.
He's the night king.
And I don't think – it stops the city. The city, this is one of those 10-year highs right here.
Mm-hmm.
This is a 10-year high.
This is like Cleveland.
We lost LeBron. Fine. We won a championship, motherfucker. Yeah, woo! You know? But this is a country.
Because I would say Cleveland was deserving too, but it's all
good. Yeah, they were. Yeah. But this is
Toronto, it's their time now.
This is the time. And this is going to be a 10-year wave.
10-year party.
This is a 10-year party.
Hmm. All right. Go party, Toronto.
Party. Hey. Do you.
Do you.
Do you.